Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Yes, welcome back to the Monday Scrum. Plenty to talk about. Adam Peacock alongside Brent Reed from the Daily Telegraph.
Hello, Reedy. Mate.
How are you?
Great. Great to be here.
We're back in the radio studio, which means you and Woodsy are basically sitting on each other's
laps.
That's
the one downside of this studio.
How are you,
Woodsy? That's what you said off air, mate. I'm going good. Glad to see you next to this gibbera.
Derek, please. Derek.
Burger.
You're okay.
A burger.
And near the door, in his favourite position, James Graham.
How are you,
mate?
I'm doing very well.
Yes.
Very well. What a week of football, or a weekend. Mm. Like, Thursday night's game was one of the greatest club games you're ever going to witness.
Yes.
You could look at the scoreline and go, oh, defence was soft. It was amazing.
Mm.
And look, there's that much happened. It's not even on the rundown.
No, exactly.
What a weekend.
There's stories about footy. There's stories about blokes who can't play footy next weekend because they're feral casualty ward. And there's stories around footy as well. And where do you reckon we're going to start? We're going to start with nothing of the footy. We're going to start with
the Burrow.
Souths and the wider issues at play. As we sit here right now, Brent Reed, what's going on with this joint?
Well, I mean, 3 weeks ago, I think we all thought JD had 3 weeks to save his job, basically. Mm. They've turned around since then. They won one, got belt smashed on the weekend. And he's in all sorts, Jason Demetrio, and I don't even know if a win this weekend could save him, to be honest.
Mm.
It's a really difficult game for them, and they're going to be...
Has the owner got involved?
Well, I don't think Russ has yet. If you look at on Russell's Twitter account today, he's actually celebrating his 60th birthday.
Okay.
And according to him, he was about to have a sauna and a game of tennis and then an early night. So he didn't mention...
Do you do your research
there? Well, it's on Twitter. He put it out to the world. In between speaking Italian. It was a very impressive tweet, to be fair, from Russ. So at the moment, I don't think he's involved on that level, but nothing will happen at South without Russell Crowe. We saw that last year with Sam Burgess and what happened there. Russell Crowe was involved in that. No decision on Jason Demetrio were made without Russell Crowe having some form of involvement.
Where does it lead, guys? Jimmy? In all seriousness, it's hard for Woodsy to talk about another club, but we'll get your take in a minute. But in a wider sense, Jimmy?
Yeah, look, this situation, it's hard to see. Well, the only way Jason Demetrio keeps his job is results.
Hmm.
And if he wins on the weekend, he's going to need to win the following weekend and probably the following weekend after that. And, yeah, then we reassess and... Souths need to make finals somehow for him to have any chance of maintaining his job. Now, I've looked at this and spoke about this at length on a number of different mediums and shows. I think if you're South Sydney, you look back to 12 months ago and realise we were the best team in the comp. We were flying, top of the table. You know, looking like genuine premiership favourites. So it's not, they don't have to travel that far back, but in the absolute immediate, they have been so poor. They lack respect for the football. They're ill-disciplined. I guess when you're looking for, thinking back to my time in professional sport and in situations like this, it's the good old honesty session can have some hard and home truths. I don't know if they've already done that. Like, the perfect timing for that for me would have been before the Roosters game.
Mm.
But maybe, you know, they dust themselves down, they go and do the review in the pub and get that Dutch courage and tell each other what everyone's doing wrong and what they need to do right and don't take it personally. And you go out there and you put in a performance against the Sharks, you get the crowd behind you, like rally the crowd to get there. I said this before that Souths have had some very difficult times over the years when 40,000 people that marched.
Mm.
They win the grand final in 14 and they were there in droves and they all paraded and good on them and they celebrated like they should. As a supporter, you need to hear your voice and Souths fans do travel and they do support. They need to get there on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Woodsy, what do you see with this footy team at the moment?
No, just in general, you're just watching them. Like, there's so much noise at the moment at South Sydney. I've been in situations before, you know, when I was at the Tigers. For me, I think they're just delaying the inevitable. It's the time. If he wins this week, he pushes it back another week. You know, they've got a tough draw. They've got Cronulla. I think they've also got the Storm to come up against. I think the sooner they come up with a decision, the less noise has been made. It sounds like that they're already going to go with Hornby as assistant coach. But Jimmy just said it. It's the discipline on the field. It's letting players get away with things that, you know, like just little things like watching Latrell, just that spear tackle. That's just not a good look after an error. The play stopped and you go in with a tackle. There was no need for it. I know Toe Harris sort of didn't help it. He looked like he jumped with it as well. But don't put yourself in a situation and look up and, you know, look around. Mate, you're the one that's creating it. Not specifically just Latrell. There's other players doing things. But the coach needs to get down and say that we're not having that. You know, the leaders of the group, this is what people are talking about. We need to stand as a group and not give them any ammo on us. You know, and just little things like that, the forearm to the throat. You know, Sean Johnson's not an aggressive defender. There's no need to raise your elbow the way he raised it. You know, and it's happening too often.
Yeah.
Are they pulling him into line? Like, what's happening at the club at the moment?
Well, let's have a quick listen to what was said after the game by coach and captain about those incidents with Latrell.
They're both just stupid things. You know, they just got to be better. Simple as that. It's not something for me to talk about now. As a group, we'll be honest, as we do every week, and have a look at the things we need to be better at. But there's some key moments I'm talking about as well. You know, giving the ball over. When we've got the ball, it's not what we want to be doing, but there's several of those moments that too many blokes are coming up with.
Cam, do you have to chat with him as captain? Because obviously he's trying to come up with a big play to inspire the team, but he is crossing that line a bit too much. Do you chat with him as the leader of this team?
Latrell, he's got some good self-reflection, and he normally knows what he needs to change before anyone tells him. So, but yeah, passing by conversations won't hurt. So we're pretty fresh after the game now, but something to think about over the weekend, I think.
I think even those close to Latrell acknowledged the weekend wasn't good enough. I've spoken to some people who are close to Latrell today, and even they say, look, they've defended him in the past, but even they found it hard to defend that performance on the weekend. And I think their view is that it sounds like the club's going to make him hang around. They're going to train him during those 3 weeks because generally he gets...
That's the problem. Right? So you should, like, because it doesn't matter who you are in the team.
Yeah, I know. And that's what they're going to do this time.
So they should.
Right?
They should never have had a chat about it.
I think even people who are in his camp acknowledge the best thing for him right now is to try. It's not like he's unfit, Latrell. He's in some of the best shape of his career at the moment. If you look at the testing they've done at South, it's obviously a mental problem for him at the moment. He's been through a lot early in the year, a lot of criticism, obviously. There was always a lot of focus on him. And it looked at the weekend like he looked disinterested. And even, as I said, those close to him acknowledge he looked disinterested. So he needs to spend the next 3 weeks just working out what he wants.
Well, I was sitting sideline, actually, and wanted to go down there and have a listen. Thank Charlie Watt and the access given with the Triple M accreditation, despite a few tenuous moments earlier in the season after an interview in particular. But listening and watching that team go about their business. So previous times, the odd occasion of sat on the sideline, you hear someone like Tommy Turbo playing fullback or Teddy playing fullback. It's constant just barking. He's screaming like a banshee throughout the defensive set. Latrell, once every 2-3 tackles, yelling just the odd thing to point over there. A ball goes down. You see the body language. You can see it from the commentary box, Jimmy, that body language is like everyone just looking around. Okay, what am I going to do next? No, I don't know.
He needs to rediscover his love of the game. It feels like he's lost a bit of his love of the game.
But it feels like there's a few in South like that. It's the weight of my world is on me because we've just dropped the ball.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, look, For South Sydney, Latrell is one of a number of issues and one of a number of players that are not playing anywhere near their potential. And I think they know that. Again, I think looking at the situation. Sorry, excuse me. Again, looking at the situation, you think, okay, let's look within that group. And like I said, 12 months ago, they're leading the competition and one of the premiership favourites coming into this. Well, they don't fix it and fix it now. These opportunities pass you by. Cody Walker, 34. Damien Cook, 32. You're not going to get chances. No. Your chances are limited.
And that's why they bought Jack Whiten, wasn't it? Because it's about now.
Yeah. like it's about now. So if they're in this window now, if they've got opportunity now, you know, it's not going to be around forever. So you got to make a decision. If you're those two players, yeah, give it a red hot crack, because you'll regret that, and you'll look back and you'll be like, what were we doing? What were we doing? Not focusing. What were we doing? You know, not be like, why did I hold back? Why did I not be honest? Why did I miss that opportunity to say something I should have said? Or,
I get what you're letting it drift.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah, just letting it drift.
Oh, I'll just bottle this one up. I don't need to concern myself.
I think they've spoken, Jimmy, though. I think they've sat in rooms and looked at each other and pointed fingers. And
you know what, Ree? I think they still haven't addressed what's happened last year. You know, the fallout. Because the one player that wasn't there last year and watching him play this year, Jack Whiten, he's been outstanding. Like, his energy, he's coming
on the
ball.
You say amongst the players, though, would you?
Well, then you listen to Cameron Murray talk then. He sounded so flat. And he's the leader of the group. He's got to get the blokes up. He looks like he's lost for words at the moment.
Yeah.
Latrell reflects on it. Are you talking to him about it, or are you just letting Latrell reflect on himself and hoping he knows what he's done wrong? As a leader of the group, you need to find what is happening and what's wrong. And that's something that JD and Cameron have to do together.
Well, maybe it's on Cookie and Walker,
the leaders,
to look everyone in that room in the eye and say, are you gonna let me go out like this? Like, if what is Walker going to let them go out? Like, let his teammates be remembered for this. Like, is this what you want for me and Cookie? Maybe that message will drill home, because I know if I'm a young player in that dressing room, or if I'm one of those players that are I'm drifting in and out of form and not focusing, or I'm putting it in the too hard basket, or I'm leaning on an excuse, or I'm letting Latrell take the fall. You know, it's about time. I think it's those two and Tom that's leaving, you know, the last of the generation. They look at everyone and go, is this what you want to do to us?
Yeah. Tom Burgess, actually, spring to mind, when he came back on, he had so much energy. He was trying to he was leading a kick chase. I think there was one set where he led a kick chase. He sprinted back. He was first out of line, looked to put a shot on, missed it, sprinted back. And then was involved in the next
tackle.
And
that's what you want to see from your leaders, it's a commitment. And like Jimmy said, it's definitely Tommy's last year this year. He's going out, obviously going to Super League. You know, Cookie, Cody Walker said he still wants to play and said his body feels fresh. But we're not seeing, you know, the same Cody Walker from 18 months ago. You know, you come into a tough situation. All the stuff that happened last year. So when Sammy Burgess walks out, you know, they take JD's side and you know, obviously the other players are in the team. It must be right, because nothing's changed since Sammy's left.
Mm.
The culture must have stayed the same.
It's interesting what they do though, Adam. Like, if you get rid of Jason, Ben Hornby's there already.
But the talk is they want to get
nothing
Bennett.
Nothing will change.
Bennett and Burgess back.
Yeah, but you can't get Bennett now. He's in the middle of a coaching job. If you change it now.
But why would you bring Burgess back if he left and nothing's changed? Like,
because he'll change. He's
not going to be able to come back.
And that's what I mean.
He's seven games into his coaching career.
He won't be able to come back now, but at the end of the year, potentially.
No, the Warrington said they would not release him.
Yeah, I know. Clubs say that, though, Woodsy, but clubs say that.
Two years. He's got another year there.
You know Sammy well, Jimmy. Would he want to do that apprenticeship over there for 2 years at Warrington? With all due respect to Warrington calling it an apprenticeship, but you know what I mean? He wants to end up back in the NRL one day as a coach.
Yeah, of course. I don't think you need to be Einstein to figure that one out, that he wants to come back and coach in the NRL.
But he could serve his 2 years, and if Wayne does a three-year deal, for example, he just comes back after 1 year and works under Wayne for two.
Yeah.
His 2 years over there. The issue is now, that's what I'm saying.
It's hard because Sam's incredibly determined, motivated, and believes he can achieve whatever is put in front of him, i.e. he could walk in tomorrow at South and turn it around, but he's also incredibly tactile as well.
Mm.
Like he can plan and formulate and see and maybe know that maybe he's assessing it and go, oh, I'm going to leave it alone and I'll go in 2 years' time. Let someone else do some dirty work.
Yeah.
Get turn over players.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. To me, it looks a no-brainer. Wayne Bennett.
You know the other thing about
leaving the Dolphins. Yeah.
But you know the funny thing is, it's not like South has got a terrible roster. They've got a good squad there.
Hmm.
You know, you look at other sides, like poor old Gold Coast Titans, like, you know, you compare them to those two and they're on the same points.
You don't reckon that Souths is Souths,
don't be confused with this. Souths are bottom of the table. They've got a win. Gold Coast don't.
Yeah, I know that, but they're still in the same. And look at the teams that the Souths have played as well. Well, they played the big guns already to start the season.
Could Sammy come back and work with Latrell, given all the water that's gone under the bridge? I mean, I think he could.
What about the boss?
But I'm just saying.
Blake Solly.
Well, Blake could find a way to work with them. They've known each other for a long time. I'd imagine they'd have to find a way through it. I mean,
you can rekindle relationships. You can.
Well, Woodsy and I have been on and off for years.
Yeah, we've never been on. But what about the ownership come down to Blake Solly? He's the one that's employed all these people and wanted to keep them.
Well, not it's not just Blake. Yeah, the board made the decision.
Yeah.
And Russell made the decision to bring in Wayne and have a succession plan in place. That wasn't just a Blake decision.
So CEOs, there's certain CEOs that have a greater sway with the football things, but generally speaking, NRL clubs these days, CEOs are mainly focused on the commercial side.
He's involved in that aspect of things. He would have made a recommendation, but the board's still got a... That's ratify. Pretty hands-on
just board. Have you got Russell manager? Crowe,
they or, do have a head of footy.
Head of football. Who's that?
Brock Schaefer's head of footy.
Never heard of him.
He's very good. Good operator.
Yeah. I think I've actually seen him at games. Yeah.
Very good operator. It's quite close to JD, actually, but he's a really good operator.
How's he going to feel in a week or two, Tom?
I think you got to be realistic, right? And I think everyone at that club is realistic at the moment. If it's not working. You've got to make a decision.
You've got to make a decision. But I guess, if you do sack JD, like...
There's no contingent plan.
Hornby takes over. Now, obviously, you can't plan for this. This is manifesting in front of their eyes. But what would change? That's
a long time for the class to be with the replacement teacher.
Yeah. It's a good question because Ben's part of the system at the moment. So I don't know. You're right. Maybe you say to JD, you can stay the year. You can finish the year off and see the year out. I don't know how they'll handle that situation because they can't get Wayne now. There's been talk about Craig Bellamy as well as the other one, but
Craig Bellamy won't leave Melbourne.
Craig's a contract in Melbourne, long-term deal.
That's
down there.
Say, he'd never
and
leave.
Even though he hasn't announced he's going to coach next year, I expect the next week he will announce he's
going to
coach
next
year.
It is about that time.
Read his mail.
He's going to coach again in Melbourne.
He's a genius.
Or just...
No, in Melbourne, yeah. And even if he decides not
to. How long?
Well, he just do it year by year. But even if he decides not to.
Good on him.
He becomes like a coach consultant anyway.
Do you sort him out because you need Reedy's mail? Yeah. So it's like, Matt Craig, can you do me a favour? Just only ever do one-year deals.
Mate, every week for about 5 weeks.
Just do one-year deals.
He keeps saying next week.
Well, that's mail. That's mail for you.
I think it'll happen next week.
Craig Bellamy will know next week what he's going to do. There's your mail.
No, I think Craig's going to go around again in Melbourne. So, I mean, that was a long shot anyway, right? Craig was never going to leave Melbourne.
So you're basically saying that they're not making a decision yet because they don't know what Wayne's doing yet.
Well, so, no, they could make a decision now and then work on Wayne.
Yeah.
But I just think they want to wait. They've got the buy after.
Do you think
this
that
week.
Phone call's
so
already happened?
You wait till next week.
Do you think that
I'm
phone
sure
call's
been sounded out? Yeah, but I'm sure he's been sounded out.
What do you mean by that? Can you explain sounded out?
I'm sure someone's made a call to Wayne. If not, someone from South. I'm sure because what Wayne doesn't have an agent, right? So Wayne,
he doesn't have an agent. Like a manager, or an agent.
So he's got a landline to his house.
What he does is
doesn't even have a mobile.
He has agents hammering him, saying or offering him to clubs. What occasionally happens is an agent will go to a club and they'll say, "I can get you Wayne Bennett. Do you want Wayne?" And the club will go, "Yeah, we mind talking to Wayne." So the agent will go back to Wayne and go, "Hey, Wayne, I've got this lined up for you. What do you think?" And Wayne will make a decision about whether he wants to go with that agent or go with that club or not, which happens frequently. So that's why occasionally you hear Wayne's name being bandied about with certain clubs. But Wayne goes, "I don't know anything about it." That's because agents go out and do it sort of smart on his behalf, occasionally without his knowledge, to try and generate. And then they go back to Wayne and say, because Wayne's a free agent. He just goes with... Whoever
and then calls the,
newspaper.
Time. Yeah, the agent then calls the newspaper. Well, I've got a scoop.
Sometimes the clubs call the newspaper. So I'd imagine in some way Wayne's been sounded out, whether it's an agent ringing him or someone from South or a line to South potentially ringing him. But
do you know whatever you what you're thinking in all this? What? Like, part of me, and I know JD wouldn't do this. Because you're thinking, I'll change it. It might be best just walking away, you know, and save his coaching career.
What do you achieve by that, though, Jimmy? You know what I mean? When you walk away.
No, well, not just say my position become untenable. I know I'm a good coach, but it's my, like, I think you get a bit of credibility.
But as a player, would you walk away without having a contract signed for your next club, or is it different?
Different.
The other issue is if
different, because with coaches,
he buried that at Manly, didn't he? Because of the furniture.
I was going to say the other issue is if you walk away,
the plastic chairs.
Are you walking away without a payout? Because he's got a 9-month payout clause. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you walk away,
make it mutual with the club.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's what they'll do in the end, right? Mm. Eventually, when they part ways.
But what happens if he wins four in a row? Do they look at re-signing him then?
Well, I don't think he's going to get that long.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
We'll wait
and they're not going to win four in a row. They got
Cronulla.
They got
this
Cronulla
week.
Bye.
They'll beat the bye.
Then they got Penrith and Melbourne.
Yeah.
The next 2 weeks after
I think Cronulla's the toughest task so far, mate. They're going good. They'll be
Penrith
right.
And Melbourne.
No, they've got to get there. He's got to get there first. Yeah, Cronulla, yeah, mate.
Yeah. Wait and see. Time for this. Now. The WTF moment. Woodsy, going to you first. Let's get some Manly into this little Monday scrum.
Obviously didn't play first grade in the weekend, but I was sitting in the grandstand, pretty much in right in line with something that happened. You know, I think it was Dylan Edwards went for a long cutout pass. Tommy Talau goes to catch it, drops right in front of him. behind him. And I've watched, I think it was Toddy Smith, the referee.
Yeah.
He's gone to put the whistle in the mouth, then pulled it back and just kept watching Tolu Kula run. And I'm just going, what the? I couldn't believe it. And we got a try out of it.
How good.
It went back, though.
It's so good when it's on your side. If I was like,
oh, you're filthy.
Oh, mate, if I'm in Penrith, because that was a big moment in the game. Yeah, it completely changed the game. Instead of going up by, you know, sort of giving Penrith another shot of our line down by two, we go up by eight.
It's walk-off material. Like.
Imagine it happened to you.
Jimmy would have had the knuckle out, maybe. It's very close. Just being,
it was going up,
lads. we're done. We're walking. Like, and we're not coming out of the dressing room before that try is chalked off.
Siri, in the fair dinkum department, what was the bunker doing?
I don't know. Brown it was Mouse funny was... listening to Corey Parker, though, explain the fact that, it looked like it went back, but it's a knock on. I'm like, Corey, you've just contradicted yourself. But well, I understand. Like, every time a ball goes like that.
You know what? Everyone's so scared to make a decision.
Yeah.
So the referee doesn't want to make a decision in case he gets it wrong. Yeah. He's fearful of getting the decision wrong. So he goes to blow the whistle and then he goes, oh, well, I'll just wait and see what happens. The best thing for Kola, what he should have done, he's got tackled and not scored the try.
That's what I was saying, Jimmy.
He should not have scored the real smart players, because the odds of that not getting chalked off are so minimal. But because the referee said play on, he's waiting for him to score. Yeah. He's taking no responsibility. I'll send it to the bunker. So the referee isn't at fault. It's the bunker at fault. So he doesn't want to make a decision. I'm going to put the decision on the bunker. Kola should have got tackled. Then you can't go back and look at that. Clever. That's what smart, clever players do. Clever. But it did go. And then the bunker. Because they go with the rhetoric of, well, it's been sent up a try.
Yeah.
And the other thing is...
Because also, like, referees seem fearful of incidences like that going... I'm going to send this up as a try. They don't send things up anymore as a try. They award the try knowing it's going to be checked. Sometimes they award no try, but he should have just sent it up as a no try. He just
It was crazy.
I was saying, get tackled, because if Lua laid in the ruck and tried to say, I want to go captain's challenge, you can't do that anymore. He gets straight 10.
Well, also, if Lua tackles him and it's play on, it's there's probably no... Kola probably has to play the ball to himself because everyone just stood on the try line waiting for it to get called back anyway.
It was incredible. Brady, Graham Annesley, has he said anything?
He's on right now.
You know what that teaches you, boys? What? Play to the whistle.
Play to the whistle. Exactly. Clever.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't teach you that.
Yes, it does. It doesn't teach you that.
Just say,
shit decision.
It teaches us that there's no matter what, there's some idiots out there that are shit, can't make a decision. Those people should be held accountable.
What was your WTF, James?
Oh, look, talking about walk-offs, I was going to go with Fenerbahce. They fielded an under-19 team in the Turkish Cup final. I think they played a minute and then they actually walked off.
What?
What's happened there?
They wanted to get their game delayed. That's Turkey and their soccer things for you. But on all things referees, my WTF moment of all the injuries, we even had a touchy.
Yes.
Pulled the calf.
You're kidding. The calf.
Replacement touchy.
On the heavy turn at Newcastle.
Goodness me.
Oh, I don't blame him. That track was shocking.
No, but the track, it's not a quick track. It's a slow track.
Brings back our pace, Jimmy.
How can you tear your calf when you're running in a mud bath?
Uneven ground.
Heavy ground.
He wasn't wearing, the Nikes, that's why. No.
Well, he's got to warm up better. Like, we've got to, you know, we talk about, like, you know, planning, preparing for the worst. What if another touch you went down? Yeah, the ref went down. What are we going to do then?
It'd be one of the greatest moments in rugby league.
Someone out the crowd.
Yeah. Oh.
Wouldn't that be good?
Did you ever do that as a kid when you
probably
were like,
ref the game better?
You know, if you were a kid, you think, imagine if loads of players go down, the coach needs a player and they'll pick me. Yeah, but that was my WTF moment.
Ready?
I'm going to go with Manly, Brookie as well. Nathan Brown on Saturday night.
Off the back.
His kickoff returns. And look,
he was the best.
I think kickoffs will eventually be banned.
Get lost, Reed.
On Sunday.
Do you should have heard the crowd of Brookie, mate.
Do you want them to be banned, think they should?
I don't even.
Do you want them to be banned, or do you think they will?
I think they will.
Both.
I think
but
they will.
But do you want them to?
I don't. I'm not fussed, but I will say.
You're not fussed.
When you were sitting in your chair, how exciting was it?
It was unbelievable.
You should have heard the crowd of Brookie. He brought the crowd into the game.
But every time he ran in and got smashed into that defensive line, I thought to myself, a couple of times he got...
There was Liam Harrigan one.
You thought, what? I couldn't do that. I'm glad someone else is. I'm paying my money to sort something I can't do.
Every time I watch rugby league.
I thought to myself, at some point,
he lifted Manly with those carries, mate. He lifted Manly.
Mate, I'm with you. It was amazing. But I'm just saying, I think it was further proof why at some point
it's a contact sport.
They said he was coming off the back fence.
Because it's only like 5-10 minutes.
So he was literally
the big saucy was wound up.
Unbelievable.
I sent you a message. I swear to God, he went after James Fisher Harris.
Yes,
the best. He went after the big dog. He went and tried
see the tap run.
Absolutely smashing.
Fisher Harris had a tap run. He went flying, and James Fisher Harris, you don't see this that often. He didn't want a bar of it.
Were you on the sheds before the game?
No, it wasn't.
I think he did want to bar.
I thought you were the
pump
up man.
You might need to play him later in the year.
That one.
I was wondering whether he'd had he spoken during the week.
No,
at all?
There's certain blokes that you just don't need to, Jimmy. Like, there's blokes that need to be wound up, and there's blokes that you don't. And when you see Brownie in the sheds before a game, he's one of those quiet guys, just keeps to himself.
Okay.
He's got his music on, and that's when you know he's
on. What about in the week leading up? Had he spoken all about?
No, not at all. Obviously you get challenged from Siebes. You know, he's the Golden Boot winner. And it was his first game back from injury.
So we had Mitch Pearce and Todd Carney in the building earlier today doing a podcast for Listener, and Todd Carney brought up the fact that Wade Graham used to call blokes out, and also Josh Miller, when Mick Wayman went from Canberra to St George, apparently he said, "I'm going after him. I'm taking him down in this game." So that'd be fun to
listen
to.
Wade used to call halfbacks out, not.
Quick one on my WTF before we get back to HIS. Quick one. A kid went for a walk on the northern beaches on Sunday, I think it was, across Boonda Reserve, which is just this generic kind of soccer field in Narrabeen, and he disappeared.
What?
In the ground.
In the ground?
Sinkhole.
Oh, no way.
2 meters
sinkhole. It was only because he yelled out. Yeah. He said,
is he okay, mate?
He's all right.
I think I've played at Boonda Reserve.
Yeah, just behind one of the goals.
Probably scored you. A hat trick or something.
Right? 2 meter sinkhole. And it had to, basically, they didn't know what to do because they didn't want to tread around the sinkhole just because they go in as well on top of the kid.
Wow.
In the end, a 2 meter copper was in the area. He came and then just laid down on the ground and reefed him up one hander. Like a big excavator, like got him up.
But they fixed the hole in the pitch more.
No, they haven't, Reedy. And there might be more out there. So watch where you're playing your weekend warrior.
I'm not playing at the moment. I'm retired.
Retired. HIAs, guys, dramas. Like the Sam McIntyre one, it stands out for everyone. And go back to the Good Friday game, Jacob Preston as well with a broken jaw. But Sam McIntyre was out. He was past Pluto before he hit the ground. Then he comes back out.
There's been a few this year, I reckon, where the trainers have gone out and you've seen the guy and you've thought he's got to take him off.
Yeah.
And they've left them on.
Well, they
and
don't
it's
want
taken
to, again,
the independent doctor to
they don't
come
want to
over
make a decision because they're so
it's
frightened.
Like the bunker, Jimmy, or the referees.
Well,
right?
It is. So they don't want, basically, a trainer will go assess the player and they're so frightened of getting the call wrong, knowing they've got the safety net of the independent doctor. So they just go, well, if the guy's going to say he's all right, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
The coach will be up me for the rent if I remove him from the field of play. Like, that's what happened. This is some of the unintended consequences of bringing in an independent doctor where responsibility and the decision-making is diminished.
Isn't there an independent doctor in our games?
Yeah, there.
No.
Yeah, no. There's an independent doctor there, Woodsy, but they have the power now to make the call. So
they're in a bunker, though, right?
That power is
being in a bunker. Sorry, they're not.
Yeah, so they have the power to make the call. They call whether it's Cat 1 or Cat 2, which then just
there's a lot more Cat 2s now and a lot less Cat 1s in the last few weeks.
You can see some signs that are definitely Cat 1s, and when they come back, and I remember we did a game with you once, you're on the sideline reading, and you're like, there's only a Cat 2, and I was like, wow.
Some of these, the arguments between Cat 1 and Cat 2, the fact that you can be a Cat 1 pass.
Yeah.
Your HIA. Well, that says the test is not fit for purpose. And I've had a number of medical experts sort of suggest to me that the sideline test, the baseline test, it's not fit for purpose anymore. And it's very difficult with this issue of concussion. I understand. I speak to a lot of people in this area.
Fundamentally,
we need greater awareness and education. Because the only way you can actually diagnose a concussion fundamentally is the best tool is honesty.
Yeah.
And you need honesty from the players.
And Jimmy, aren't all different too? Like some hit you like 10 minutes later, some hit you like an hour later. So
Joseph Suolihi in the Premiership game, in the finals game last year, where no independent doctor witnessed it, none of here. His own doctor didn't witness it, no trainer, no physio, no teammate, no opposition player. There was no clear signs. He gets into the dressing rooms at halftime and goes, Doc, something's happened here. I've been involved in an incident. So it's great that this younger player has accepted responsibility and come forward and being honest and upfront, despite the fact that his team is playing a finals game and by admitting he has a concussion, will miss the following week. So it sort of suggests that some younger players are learning and willing to be honest in the most extreme circumstances. But until you get that through to the players, this test can be passed even though you're a Cat 1. I think there was reports that Tedesco knocked out, clearly Cat 1, passed his test. Well, that means it's not fit for purpose.
Yeah. You shouldn't even do 100%. The test if it's a Cat 1.
Well, you shouldn't really do the test, but the fact you can pass it is...
Well, it was funny the other day, we did the Good Friday clash when Preston had the broken jaw come back on the field.
He was out.
But I think Shaq Mitchell stayed on, but then at halftime he was getting blurry vision, so they didn't bring him back on.
Yeah, he did.
They're all completely different. So I'm agreeing with you, Jimmy. I don't think the process you got to go through, it's not correct.
When I say not fit for purpose, I should change that really. I say it needs to be looked at, and let's see if we can find a better solution and a better process to catch more concussions.
Exactly, because everyone has a different way of dealing with it as well. Like you, Swahili one that you just mentioned, the kid from Penrith on the weekend, who was clearly out, he couldn't get up.
Yeah.
Like he was like he was being, after last drinks, just shuffled out the door.
And then
he didn't want to go. He was like, I'm all right, I'm all right. But fair play to the Penrith trainer. He says, off you go, son.
Yeah.
You're out. I'm getting you off. So some can't self-regulate, some can. But until then, I'm with you, Jimmy. Like it is... Surely there's got to be a better way with all the scientific evidence behind what is and what isn't and what could be.
Mouth guards, aren't they trialling mouth? Didn't they trial mouth guards?
They have in rugby union. So basically what that is...
You know, we did it too, Jim, in pre-season, I think. I'm not sure what the results were.
What that does is really that catches some, but not all. So how those mouth guards work is there is a accelerometer. I can't say that word.
Innovative.
There's a chip in the mouthguard records the force generated. Yep. So what they've got, what they have, this system of if it's over, say, 10 G's, I'm just making these numbers up as I go along. So if it's over 10, it will buzz the computer live and go, purple number 12 has... Yeah. Been involved, it has a G-force over 10, they need to be removed for an assessment. Not necessarily confirming they've received a concussion, it's just gone over a threshold that the doctors say that if you get that much force through your body, you will need to be assessed.
It's interesting because everyone has a different pain threshold though.
Pain threshold is different. The force that's generated, the likelihood of you receive sustaining a concussion at those G-force levels are higher than you know, a 7 or an 8, significantly higher or high enough to warrant a test. It's only a test. It's not a removal. It's a test.
Just a test.
Well, he doesn't wear a mouth guard. What's he going to do?
Yeah, I know.
Well, they could mandate it.
Why don't you wear a mouth guard?
Part of your uniform.
I tried to do it when I was younger and I couldn't talk properly in it.
Yeah,
couldn't. You know how much I love talking.
You've got one on now. Yeah.
Huh?
Well said, really.
He walked into that. He absolutely walked into that. Hey,
he should be as well. We might have to separate these. Well done there.
Reed, you want me to show you? Yeah.
I'm going to send him with a bigger grin on his face.
I've got a rule that Origin, there's no point talking about it until Origin, the clocks go back. So the clocks have gone back, everyone. So what about this question? Give us a player who's rocketed in, not your Cam Murrays of the world or your DCEs or whatever like that. They're going to be there.
Smokey.
Just give us someone who's rocketed up that at the start of the season you thought, oh, not so sure about Origin. For me, someone like Wade Egan, for instance. Yeah. Even though he's got a great rep in the game, I reckon he keeps on going up and up in everyone's estimation. He could be a smoky little chance for Madge McGuire come Origin time.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout. He was on my list here.
Oh, well, you got a list?
I'm trying to think of a Queenslander.
No, Queensland. Oh, you're just picking stick. You don't pick like guys who rock.
There's obviously Dylan Edwards, right? Mitch Kenny.
Oh, he hasn't played. Yeah, Mitch Kenny.
But I'm trying to think of a Queensland. Are there any Queenslanders?
I was thinking. I don't care about Queensland. Olakuatu at my club.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah, it's a good one.
And you know, I got one more. Cameron McInnes from the Sharks.
Oh, okay.
New South Wales picking 4 hookers.
Apparently Madge likes Cam McInnes.
He can play.
Well, he can play a lock. Yeah, middle forward, and you need quick ruck speed in Origin.
Good point.
Taruva.
Taruva. Okay.
Can he play? How old was he when he moved over here?
Where's he from? Is he from Maxville?
He's going to play
for
you, Bob.
He's from Penrith.
He qualifies for New South Wales.
I'm trying to think of a Queensland. Are there any Queenslanders?
I don't know, Reddy. You're the Queensland fan.
Have you bolted into contention? Good.
Well, they've gone backwards a bit.
They've gone backwards a bit.
There's a few injury concerns, Queensland, do they not? Big Tino out.
Underdogs. What about Bo Fermor? Well, they've been struggling a bit.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll be underdogs. That's fine. As we always
or
are.
Or Mitch Barnett.
Yes.
From the Warriors. He's been really good.
He's been very good. Yeah. New South Welshman, though.
That's what I don't really care about Queensland.
He was outstanding. You talk of energy
been
through the middle.
For the last 18 months.
He's been great, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great player. Better player than I thought he was.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's mail.
We should talk bolters for Origin. Mm-hmm. This is the really left field bolter.
Mm.
Young Ethan Strange. Now, he's not going to make Origin this year, right? But Canberra's actually kicking off talks with him over a new deal. He was outstanding again last night, Ethan Strange. Been one. I think he's the early favourite for Dally and Rookie of the Year. He's got a year left in his deal. His dad's a coach at the Roosters, coaches the women's team.
Sister plays too, doesn't she?
His sister plays. So I think Canberra's a bit fearful that his father might come and coach him back to the Roosters. Because the Roosters, if you look at it, they're next year's centres. He's more of a centre. He plays a bit of centre.
Kiri's also another year older too.
They're a bit short. So Canberra just...
Everyone is.
Yeah. Canberra just signed, obviously, Matty Tomoko to a contract extension. next off the bat's Ethan Strange. So...
Just on that game, how about with Parra?
Terrible.
Canberra were very good.
We were touch
good.
On that.
Energetic.
You brushed that. Coming back to that?
Are Canberra going after that young half, Parramatta?
Yes, Ethan Sanders, yeah.
Sanders, yeah.
They were in talks with him. Then the NRL changed the rules. He wasn't allowed to talk to anyone until after round 6. Round 6 is this weekend. I'd imagine next week Canberra will be on the phone to him straight away.
Do they want him now or they want him
next
year?
They wanted him straight away. And my understanding is Parramatta said, no, you can't have a release last year because if Mitchell Moses or Dylan Brown get injured,
he's not, is he?
Well, they said to him, you're next up. And Mitch has been injured and he's not playing.
And now they don't want to play him because they don't want to develop
him. Well, that's the perception, right, Jimmy? Mm. And I mean, he is a natural halfback. And if you talk about Parramatta at the moment, probably what they lack with no Mitch is a natural halfback who can lead that, steer that team around. Because
who
did Dylan's
play this week?
Blaze Talangi's not a... No, they played him last week.
No, who are they playing this week?
Who they play?
Because Blaze Talangi's not a talker. Good player, not a talker. And Dylan Brown's not really a natural halfback.
Yeah. Titans could be... So, they're playing Titans this week. Could be
Cowboys.
A good... Are they playing the Cowboys this week?
Cowboys?
I think they need... I think Parra needs to change something.
Are they going to be in a South situation in 6 weeks' time?
With
or is it too early to say? No, just the, in general, like everyone questioning where we're all headed with this thing.
With the coach.
With the coach, with everything, with their playing.
They didn't make the eight last year.
It's been a fall from grace from the grand final.
They didn't make the eight last year. They've struggled this year. Obviously, Moses is long-term. And, you know, we speak about, okay.
He's under pressure.
He's under pressure, and it's time sensitive, right? Because it's like, well, do we pull the pin now, and then we're first dibs on whoever coaches are out there, or do we wait?
That squad would seem right for Wayne. Again, the experienced squad, a lot of old heads. Wayne's really good with those sort of guys. They would seem ready made.
They never got the hang of it after Reed Marnie left.
No.
Have they?
So someone from Parramatta reached out on behalf of Wayne to you?
Well, there was that rumour going around pre-season that someone had reached out to Wayne.
Well, that's what you said before. He's got people that reach out.
Yeah, just not wondering. To me, mate. Oh, no, okay. Not to me. To clubs.
That's right.
And Parramatta
just... Him, Wayne just plays Sweet Caroline all the time. Reaching out.
That's and, actually a big song at the game.
Oh, mate, trash me.
Parramatta distanced themselves from Wayne the pre-season. We should make that very clear.
Yeah, well, of course, because they got Brad Arthur there. we're going to deny those reports, Brent Reed. Yeah.
But Brad's, I think it's pretty, I think we can all assume that Brad's under a bit of pressure in the next 7 weeks.
You'd hate to be a coach, wouldn't you?
It's quite the predicament.
Pay good money.
It's quite the predicament for Brad Arthur and the Eels to be in with this young kid. And obviously, in all likelihood, he's going to move down to the Raiders. But then do they give him the advantage and the Raiders the advantage of blooding him now? But they need results now. So. Yeah.
It's a difficult one. But, you know, I would have thought he's going to go close to getting picked this week, given the way their halves have sort of played the last couple of weeks. Another kid who's going to make his debut this week, Jai Gray, the young South
fullback. Oh, nice.
With Luttrell out. Looks like he'll definitely play this week, Jai Gray. So
the exact difference in terms of when you look at him to Luttrell Mitchell.
He's
Luttrell
all energy.
Big, imposing fella.
He's
a little fella.
You were going to say something, and you finished your sentence, great U-turn. Yeah. Great
he's
U-turn.
He's got Preston
well
Campbell's body shape. Yes. Let me say that.
Yes, he's actually a half. I saw him play at the national schoolboy titles 2 years ago. Mm. He's a halfback. He's a half 5'8", but he's played fullback for South. Been outstanding in New South Wales last couple of weeks. And he'll get his chance this week. So a lot of people
excited. Look good in Charity Shield.
A lot of people excited about seeing him play. And the other bloke who looks like he's going to come back this week is Nelson Sofa Solomona. Because he didn't get charged.
Oh, he didn't get charged?
No, he didn't get charged over those incidents on the weekend. He's played 2 games in the New South Wales Cup the last couple of weeks. Been a lot of talk about his future and whether he's got a future in Melbourne because he was on the outer a bit in the off-season. But it looks like he'll get his chance this week to show that he's got a future in Melbourne.
That's weird because it was such a, not a rigmarole, but, you know, it was a story about whether or not he was going to stay whatever like that. But then the off-season led to believe they weren't too impressed with the shape he came back in.
No. And I think they
got himself into.
I think they were a bit disappointed with the shape he was in all last season.
Okay.
Then he had some injury problems in the off-season.
He's just a big
boy.
Didn't
really meet expectations.
He's one of those blokes who can change a game like this, really. They won't let go of him.
What's he like to tackle?
Oh, he's one of the hardest. Like, he's so big. Ask Jimmy, like, you come against blokes when you play first grade, you know, we all do weights. We're all pretty strong. You can tackle blokes. He's that hard to tackle one-on-one, like, physically. He's just so big. You look at his legs, mate.
When he's fresh, it's sometimes
bring him off the bench.
Mate, speaking of big blokes, Ben Tiakora.
Oh, my God. See, all he did was bend down, he scored.
Try on his debut. Yeah. Like, if you're Billy Walters.
What about Wishart?
Smoothie. Like, you use that play. Like, that's going to be a big thing for Brisbane these next couple of years. Use him and then bang. So if you think about it, if you're defending against Brisbane, you got to worry about that big bloke on try line. Mm. Think about the space that opens up for Walsh and Mam.
Yeah.
Like, and Stags.
Because they do say, don't they, that it's teams would rather defend on their try line than their 20. But negates that.
Well, you need about 5 players to mark up on him.
Yeah.
So you're going to be super tight. It's going to be, and if you don't go super tight, you play to him. If you go super tight, then Walsh and Mam explode.
It's like that video from Japan a couple of years ago with those 100 kids playing against the 3 professional soccer players trying to get the ball off.
Did you play Jonolomu rugby? There was that cheat. You could enact the cheat code on your
15 Jonolomus.
it was the special team on the memory card. You could get them on, and this guy had just, he was untackleable. It's like him.
You know what I'm looking forward to with him, Jimmy? I hope he holds his spot in first grade, because when they play the West Tigers, if you remember, in the New South Wales Queensland State of Origin under 19 game, Ben Takura and Samuel Afanu went at it.
Oh, did they?
Because Ben Takura sledged him over his brother's being in the big house. And they went at it. And then Samuel confronted them after the game.
We saw
Samuel on the weekend. He was going at it with some dude in the crowd. Wanted to fight some guy in the crowd. Mm. Apparently that had to calm him down the dressing sheds. So if he and Ben Takura face each other, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
wow. That could be something, a sight to behold. And just quickly, last one, Freddie Lussick, who was sent off for that charge down that broke Lachlan Ilias' leg on the weekend. He's been referred straight to the judiciary. So it could be a little stint in the sidelines.
Also, it's not been graded. No, it's actually
See you Tuesday night.
Gentlemen, see you next Monday, but not next Tuesday.
Hopefully JD's still got a job next Monday when we speak.
Brent Reed, thank you.
No, you don't.
Woodsy, thank
you. Good man, JD.
Thank you, guys.
Jimmy, thank you.
Cheers.
Have a great week, everyone.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.